Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the waitfor.com hotline is a guy that knows Dave O'Brien. He writes for The Athletic, has covered the Braves for years. And Dave, we're talking about this Bryce Harper thing because we still, you know, have not signed necessarily a right fielder. And Harper just makes perfect sense. Am I right about the years part of this with the Braves? What's the reason why they would not sign him?
Money.
Okay.
They don't have the money to do it. I think they're about to trade. I think they're going to make a trade for a starting pitcher and probably end up either re-signing Markakis or trading for a right fielder as well. But I think they're probably going to allocate what funds they have left towards a starting pitcher.
And that's the thing.
Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
And then and a right fielder, and maybe add some to the bullpen.
Now, okay. When you say allocated, how much money are we talking about? Because, again, there is no cap.
That's just all speculation because they've never given a dollar figure on what the payroll limit is, never said how much it's going to increase other than it's going to increase. It was $120 million to start last year. It was $130 at the end of the year. So figure it's going to start somewhere between those two amounts. And he'll set aside $7 to $10 million probably to make midseason additions as needs arise. So, right now it's at about 106. So I think you're looking at no more than $15 to $20 million left to spend this year.
You know, Dave, we know
they could add a little bit to that by trading Teron if they were to get another starting pitcher. Teron's making $11 million, so that could trade most for all of that. Maybe they're not going to get anything in return for him if they get a team to take most of that salary, but they could do, that could be a way they could add some more payroll.
Dave O'Brien with us, guys, from The Athletic now. Of course, been covering the Braves for years. Read him. Schultzy, all our favorites at The Athletic. Joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. So, I mean, the thing that Carl and I chatted about yesterday is it's not collusion, but it sure looks fishy. I mean, we're almost like, what, less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. It's one thing about Markakis, that's a different kind of animal, but the two biggest name free agents, Machado and Bryce Harper, still not signed. Did all the owners get together on this, or is it finally common sense is prevailing?
It's common sense. It's not. If an owner wanted to get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, you know, generational type players, if you believe that or whatever, but rare is a 26-year-old free agent. Does a 26-year-old become a free agent, especially one that good? And if a team thought that they could be a difference maker and be, you know, a stud in their lineup for the next 8-10 years, they're going to do it. They're not going to care what the other owners want. I mean, you're talking about being able to transform your team. So it's common sense now. I mean, these teams are starting to look at how contracts lose, how players don't live up to the contract at the back end of that deal. Now, Scott Boras would argue that they'll make up the contract and more in the first four or five years of the deal. It doesn't matter what they do in the last half of it. But that's not how teams are looking at it now. So what you're at is a loggerheads where Scott Boras and Manny's agent, they still want the 8 to 12 years or more that they were looking for at the beginning, of the offseason, the way free agency used to be for guys like this. You know, they're looking for Giancarlo Stanton years and money, and teams just aren't giving that anymore. So that's why we're at this kind of standstill, because they're holding out, waiting for teams to give it, and the teams, meanwhile, are going, well, we're not going to give it. So, you know. And that's, in effect, holding up the market for guys like Pollock, an outfielder, a free agent like Pollock, and even Markakis. Because the team, not that it, you know, to compare them to Harper, but the team doesn't get Harper, is then going to have to get an outfielder, so they're going to go get a guy like Pollock. And the team that might have been aiming for Pollock is then going to have to go for get somebody else. And Markakis is one of the other few guys that's out there. So you know what I mean? It's a trickle-down sort of thing. So while the same teams aren't vying for, the big two free agents for Harper and Machado that are vying for the Markakis and Pollocks of the world, It does have an effect on the overall market, and that's why things have been so stagnant with free agency in general.
Well, speaking of the market, let's talk about a guy like Craig Kimbrell, who remains unsigned, is the best free agent reliever on the market. And, you know, and you just talked about, all right, the Braves may be potentially making a trade to get some help there. Is that completely out of the question as well? Does this get back to what we just talked about, and that is they just don't have the money or don't want to do it when you talk about investing in a closer like Kimbrel?
It's not the impossibility that I thought entering the offseason, only because he hasn't been signed, and the market we just discussed is really going to affect a guy like Kimbrel, who's not going to get nearly what he thought he was going to get when he was talking about, you know, going into the offseason, getting, you know, 6 years and $100 million or whatever it was going to be. It's just not going to be anywhere near that. So if the market just craters on him and other teams, you know, like the Yankees signed out of Eno today, so, you know, other teams fill their bullpens out and Craig is sitting there in 2 weeks from now and, okay, all of a sudden he's looking at making, you know, maybe a 3-year deal or even a 2-year deal and then go back into free agency, which, you know, that would really be something if that happened. But, you know, if he's looking to make it, maybe taking a 3-year deal, then all of a sudden, you know, he lives in Nashville, and obviously he'd prefer to pitch down here, given his druthers pitching for, if it's not, you know, going back to Boston on a huge deal, which isn't going to happen now, then maybe he could look at the Braves making finding a way to add a little bit more maybe than they wanted to spend if they had that rare opportunity to get him at such a reduced rate from what people originally thought. So I wouldn't entirely rule it out, depending on what happens here. You know, they could go in that direction and beef up the pitching staff by adding another starter, adding Kimbrel, and then it's not such a huge deal if they don't do much more to the lineup.
It is Dave O'Brien breaking down the Bravos, guys. And if you just tuned in, forget about Bryce Harper. Forget it.
Not until he signs.
Oh, he's not coming. Again, we're carrying a lot of debt down there at the
battery. I was in offseason thinking the same thing. I thought Bryce Harper would have been a great ad for the Braves. You know, I thought that they were going to beef up the payroll a little bit more than they apparently are. And to me, the idea of adding Bryce Harper to an outfield with Ronald Acuna.
Money.
And Ender Inciarte for right now, but Pache coming. You're talking about the best outfield in baseball.
Dave, you know? I just didn't think for $300 million that the Braves were interested, right? That's out of the question. I just believe with what you said to us in your last comment, talking about why the marketplace is where it is, that he's not going to get what he wants. And if that's the case, then that maybe allows some other teams to get involved in the conversation. If he now...
He's not going to get what he wants, but he's going to get a lot. And Scott Boras isn't going to accept some cut-rate deal. I mean, it's going to be something creative, something backloaded.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff that the Braves don't want to give. Opt-outs. You can guarantee there'll be opt-outs in it. The Braves don't like giving; they've never given those, and they don't plan on giving them. No trade clauses. The Braves don't give those. He'll want that. Boras will find a way. If he takes, you know, $50-100 million less than he was aiming for, he'll find a way at least to get all kinds of add-ons like that that could make it, you know, that where he can go back out into free agency in a couple 3 years if he wants to.
Hey, Dave, what about the young pitchers? Because, you know, you talked about, if you missed it earlier, Dave's saying they're going to probably make a trade for somebody like a Sonny Gray or his ilk. It's funny because, you know, Anibal Sanchez wound up with the Nats, and that's kind of a good innings eater type guy. What about, like, Tukey? Who's the young guy you're banking on is going to be? What about Sirotka? Remember, he looked great, then the back became an issue. What are his odds? Who are these starting five going to be?
Well, you named two of them right there that have a very good chance of making it. Tukey, Toussaint, and Soroka. Who looked great before, you know, his shoulder started barking, you know, and by all accounts, it wasn't a structural type thing in the shoulder. It was just inflammation that he's never, you know, ramped it up, pitched at that level and got excited and, you know, and got it irritated and got a little scared from that. And they were cautious with it, but he threw an instructional lead and had no issues. So he's missed 100% of spring training. So if so, Soroka will compete for that spot and Tukey will compete for that spot. But I tell you, Tukey, if Soroka is healthy and makes a rotation, and they don't need, you know, two of those young kids in a rotation, which if they add a Sonny Gray, they wouldn't, then Tukey, to me, could be a golden candidate for the bullpen. And not long-term, not forever, but there have been a lot of cases where teams have used young guys like that in a bullpen to start out. he showed in the divisional series where they took him with hardly any relief experience and put him in the bullpen because of stuff. They wanted his stuff against the Dodgers. Against the Dodgers hitters, they went with stuff rather than, you know, three of the veteran relievers, but three of the key relievers who had been so good for most of the year but struggled late. They ended up going with Tukey and Sabatka, you know, over those guys. So Tukey, to me, and he looked good in a relief role. So to me, more so than Soroka, Tukey's the kind of guy that could pitch out of the pen, I think, and be really effective if they want to go in that direction, because they're not going to have the kind of money to add. You know, a lot of big arms in the pen, obviously. And there's not many left now at this point after Ottavino signed today.
Dave, let's talk about Nick Markakis. You mentioned they might try to re-sign him. For what amount?
Don't know. I think he's going to end up taking I think it'll be a small deal. I'm talking 1 or 2 years, maybe one plus an option. He's going to have to take a lot less than he would have a couple of years ago coming off the season he had. It's because of the age. What the market is right now, the age, and how his performance fell off in the last two months of the season. He had, you know, his final numbers looked great. The Silver Slugger Award, the Gold Glove Award, the All-Star appearance, and his final numbers were still, you know, among the best he's ever had. But his last 2 months were really a significant fall off, and you factor in the age, and that raises red flags. Teams start to think, okay, did he break down? Is this the beginning of the end? That kind of thing. So he's going to have to take a lot less than a guy if you just looked at the raw numbers and didn't know he was 34. Mm-hmm. So he was 30 years old and a free agent, and especially if this has been a couple years ago. I mean, he would have got a lot more than he's going to end up getting. So I think you're probably talking 1 or 2 years, and I don't want to hazard a guess on the money, but you know, he made $11 million each of the last 4 years. He ain't going to make that.
Yeah. You know? Well, and that's why I'm asking. I mean, I totally agree if the market is what we're talking about it being.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right. You see that with top-tier guys not being signed. Dave, we got to run, man. Yeah. Always appreciate you jumping on. We look forward to getting you on here after the Super Bowl and getting into spring training, because hopefully by then some things will have changed, man. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.